today. I'd like to begin our meeting with prayer remarks by Councilman McPhee, after which Councilman Banger will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful this day for the opportunity that we have to be here and serve in the capacity of a county council. And we ask that Thou would help us to make decisions based in the best interests of the residents of Wasatch County. We're thankful that we live in such a wonderful nation, state, and county. We ask that Thou would watch over and protect those that are in harm's way serving our country and look over their families while they're away. We ask these things in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We're going to change our agenda just a little bit. We're going to go down under manager's report. Mike, I don't know if you want to introduce Dan and his team.
I'll let Dan or whoever's speaking introduce.
All of you, sounds like.
I'll start these, just passing them down. There should be seven there, enough for.
Is this your friend? You can't have him now. Just for introduction's sake, Holly is here with the Tetris Group. They are lobbyists for Wasatch County at the state legislature. Kind of going to bring us up to speed on what's going on and what we can expect, I suppose.
Exactly. Thank you.
Thanks, Holly.
Yeah, thanks for having us here and taking the time to put us on your agenda. We appreciate the opportunity. I'm going to update you on the upcoming legislative session. This year's legislative session begins January 27th, and it runs through March 14th until midnight. New bill titles are being released to the public each day. Most of them do not yet have any accompanying language. So you'll see on this handout, the first page and like a half are two different lists of bills, one for the House, one for the Senate. You'll see TO after the ones that are just title only, meaning no language, and you'll see a little asterisk by the ones that we know or have been given a heads up that are going to be a special.
Let's get this on overhead so that people can see it. Have you got another copy, Holly?
I do.
We can't yet.
Oh,
okay.
Somebody borrowed the overhead, and it doesn't have a power cord now.
Oh, okay.
It's on its way. It's called someone's.
Okay.
I can borrow them when I'm in the truck.
You just need to hold them both in there.
So, yeah, as I was...
Sorry, Holly.
Oh, please. So, yeah, as I was saying, the list of bills is going to continue growing. Right now, most of them are just language only, so you'll see title only after that, TO, and then an asterisk for the ones that we are aware of already that should be of special interest to you guys. That list is going to keep continuing to grow, especially around the beginning of January when there's going to be a whole bunch of new bills released. So you'll be hearing from us a lot. As those bills are issued, as these issues arise, we'll forward them to you guys for your input and direction after we vet them and make sure that they are in fact something you'll be concerned about. Some of the issues on which we're currently working on your behalf, the first I would say would be the local option gas tax. It has been discussed during the Transportation Interim Committee. It's being advanced by the Utah League of Cities and Towns, the Utah Association of Counties, the Wasatch Front Regional Council, and among others. Several concerns have been raised on this issue. Most of them have to deal with the allocation of funds, how they're going to split up the tax, how they're going to break it down. That's where most of the controversy is arising. Discussions have just begun, and they're going to continue through the legislative session. We'll be closely following and working on this issue, so as it moves forward, we will keep you guys involved and keep you updated on what the latest is. Court fees for political subdivisions. This is a bill that Wasatch County opposed. It was heard during the Judiciary Interim Committee meetings, and it's been discussed and debated several times. It was draft legislation that required an agency or a political subdivision to pay a defendant's court costs under certain conditions. resistance to this legislation has forced the sponsor to try to resolve his issues outside of the legislative arena. So that means there will be no bill on this issue this year. Next issue would be assessment areas. Last session, House Bill 66, Special Service Area Amendments, passed. In its original form, it not only amended the notice requirements, but also intended to lower the protest threshold from 50% to 20%. The agreed-upon version of the past dealt only with the notice provisions. The sponsor brought this issue back during interim, which was expected, and it's been heard several times. During those meetings, he has heard a lot of testimony urging him to be cautious about going forward or just to leave the protest threshold as it is. Some interested parties, however, are negotiating a compromise that would lower the threshold from 50 to 35%. So that would be a compromise between 50 to 20. That's going to make the fight harder come January, but we're still working on your behalf to keep it at 50%.
Would this be only on new assessment areas, or would it be grandfathered on all assessment areas?
Just the new ones. Yes. So, but, yes.
But the statute, I think, requires assessment areas to be redone every 5 years. So is that technically a new assessment area every 5 years?
It probably would apply to those. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yes, we'll keep you apprised and involved and updated on that as it goes forward. Water rights change application amendments. That's another issue. The sponsor introduced a draft. It was heard in interim committee. There was some confusion and concern and questions, so he's agreed to meet with all interested parties and work out some sort of consensus bill. And that's all the information on that at this time.
Is the new bill that's out now in the KIPS, is that the one they worked out?
No.
So they...
He's meeting with the interested parties to work it out. And then billboard legislation. During last year's session, two pieces of billboard legislation were introduced and then defeated during the final days. Looks like we're going to be dealing with billboard legislation again this year. There's been some shakeups in the billboard industry, but as of now, there's no information on what that bill may look like. That's another one that, as it moves forward, we will keep you involved and get your take on everything. And that, with that, I'll turn my time over to Steve.
Thank you, Council. Couple other ones. Governmental immunity for emergency response vehicles was issued last year. It's going to come up again. You probably won't find these in your packet. It's going to come up again this year. And then another one, air quality. It's going to be big. And this is one that I think really Wasatch County needs to pay particular attention to, because air quality, I was coming out of Salt Lake County. A lot of the Salt Lake County legislators are talking about what they can do. It's going to have statewide ramifications. It's going to be dealing with them, and they're not going to be paying attention to this side and how that's going to really impact Wasatch County. So we need to really pay attention. There's some legislators going to make this a top priority, as well as there's talk within the governor's office about really what they want to do to tackle the issue. So I think we really need to pay attention to make sure that they pay attention to this side of the room.
Now, they tried in the past to do emissions, push emissions into the neighboring counties to Utah, Salt Lake, Davis, Weber, and that we got that kind of taken care of. But is that going to come up again?
It's one of the things that they're talking about. And they're really looking at industry and some of the other things, not just emissions. It's going to be a more global air quality approach. And some of the legislators that are looking at this, I want to phrase this in a public meeting, never really sure where they're going to go and what they're going to do. So we're really paying attention to air quality, because that can be big.
Is the governor looking at CNG?
He's not sure what he's going to do, frankly. And the timing on that is how far down the road. But CNG conversions is being talked about. We're paying attention to leadership changes. The leadership and legislature already, folks are starting to stake out territories for next, not this session, but after the next election. On the tourism, hospitality, economic development front, one thing of note, DAVC is starting to look for new sites. If they're a pretty good generator, and they there's some advantages to having DHC stores if you guys are interested. There's talk about
DNC sewer.
Alcohol beverage.
Oh, okay.
Hotel, there's hotel liquor license changes that will be able to free up some licenses. 0.05, you may have seen this, especially over the summer, talk about the state going to a 0.05 DABC. We don't have an opinion on whether 05 is good or bad or making any judgments on drinking and driving, but I'm not sure the state wants to be the first state with tourism focus being the first state to go to 05. So that's something else that we'll be paying attention to. Right now, I don't think Utah's going to be up front on that issue. There's talk about governmentally owned cultural facilities and having their own kind of license so that when you guys hold events, you don't have to go down to DABC every time and get a special permit all the time and do all those things as you do convention centers, big build-outs, that kind of stuff. There'll be a license because you're a governmental agency. They trust you a lot more that you guys can do what you need to do to attract some of that stuff. I think that's about it for my list. Unless you guys have any questions. Thanks.
Thank you.
I'm going to back clean up, hit a home run as usual. Just a couple of things I wanted to follow up on. CNG, I would say there's a lot going on CNG. Questar is working with the administration and with others to try to expand the distribution, which is probably the biggest issue. But I think without question, there's going to be more and more focus on CNG. I know the government and several government entities have tried the conversions. Some are ordering new vehicles with CNG. I don't think that one's going to be a passing fad. I think we're going to see more and more of that. I don't think that there's going to be a renewal of a lot of the incentives or that, or I don't know what they're called.
Incentives.
Yeah. That I would find hard to believe would happen. On the assessment area question, one of the things that we found in our research, and we've looked at most of the assessment areas created in the last 10 years in Utah, that the 50% protest, even though that's what the statute is, most entities, if they start getting even 10 or 15%, usually back off. So even though we're going to fight against the 50 to go down to 35 or anything else, I'm not sure in the real world how much effect, even if it does, is going to have, because most legislative bodies are pretty sensitive on that. If a fairly significant number in the proposed assessment area are complaining about it, most people don't just roll them over and go for it anyway. So that's been a three-year project from Representative Webb, and I don't see him backing off on it.
Does an assessment area have to renew every 5 years if the assessment is just for operation and maintenance?
I believe it does.
And that's when the protest would...
Yeah. And it seems to me the last, I'm a little foggy on this because it's 6 months old. I think the last time we had a go around representing WEF, it was on that issue. Because, I mean, once those capital dollars are expended, now all we're talking about is maintaining those capital dollars, some other rules of the road ought to apply to that as opposed to the initial
creation.
So, I think, if I remember right, there was a discussion with him, and I don't think he was as opposed to looking at a different set of rules of road for the operation maintenance as it was for the original creation.
That could be important to us.
Yeah, okay, we'll note that. We are planning on continuing to meet with the legislative policy group or executive, whatever we're calling that. I think Jay and Steve and Mike or that group right now, but we want to do that a lot more regularly. And of course, Councilman Kohler's up there a lot, so we'll make sure we're staying in touch there as well. I think this is going to be a fairly typical year in which elections are held with regards to the legislature. They're going to be pretty careful I think as much talk as there is about a gas tax, I personally don't see it happening in an election year, whether it's local or state. I don't know. There may be some movement forward on some of the issues that are kind of tangential to local option, but I don't see the full vote being presented this year. I think that's about it on our overview, unless you've got some questions on anything specific.
We kind of talked about the gas tax, and I mean, we didn't take an official vote, but I think our voice was to be opposed to that, if we might.
Yeah, most of the rural counties had some, at least, questions about it, if not some outright opposition. So.
Yeah.
But we'll keep you posted on what, if any, of those kind of interim moves are being made. There's one that's being talked about to actually separate the special fuels and diesel fuel into a different category so that the tax on it would go to one place and then the tax on just gasoline would go to a different place, one being the state, the other one being the local, instead of having the division like we do now. So there may be some kind of interim steps like that that the legislature will consider this year, but we'll keep you posted.
I think we'd be real concerned about the transportation of fuels, and the pipeline or the railroad, whatever. You know, if you hear anything about that, I think that's something that we're really interested in. Anything else from the council right now before it starts?
No, as we read through these and new ones come up, new bills that are open, we just shift through our committee.
Yeah.
And ask that they follow those.
Yeah. Anything else, Kendall?
When do they start getting numbers? Right now, there's just box card
types. Yeah, they have. They'll be. Well, numbers will start coming out now. But in terms of text, could be 3 or 4 weeks into the session. There's a deadline. Yeah, there's a deadline when they have to be published or not. But it's the end of the session before that deadline hits. And
seems
a lot of
like
people
they push that off as far as they can.
Well, you know, each of the houses have tried different kinds of rules to try to minimize some of that because it's a little bit contradictory to the buzzword of the day, transparency. But there's still a lot of the more seasoned legislators who sometimes like to play games with it.
No, so, Representative Powell said he won't put a bill until there's full language with it. I don't know whether he followed that. I guess he does.
Well, they're still, you know, they have to be drafted, and each of them only gets a certain number of priority drafts. And last year, that was one of the problems. The drafting attorneys were just overwhelmed. And a lot of the concepts, they never did get drafted. So some of those are in the works. A couple of these on the county sales tax.
Yeah.
With Senator Hendrickson, I think she does know what she's trying to do, and she's being a little bit closed, but she's being a little bit willing to discuss some of that. So sometimes we can get insight to them without the actual language, based upon the willingness of the sponsor to disclose that.
Anything else? Great. Kip? Mike?
The only thing I'd mention is Representative Webb. We talked last year when we were doing this. We got one little amendment in that helped on the last one, but the thing you brought up about having that once they're created, having a different threshold, even as close as 40%, he was actually open to.
Yeah.
He's had such a fight to get the other one changed, he kind of lost traction, but if we worked on that one, I think it would, because if you're going to create something like the low threshold doesn't hurt us, because once it's created, it does.
Right.
So I think we ought to probably get some number and work on that one.
And draw the line in the sand even tighter on that one as opposed to the original.
Well, if it's all 25% what he wants, nobody will use it. It's
right.
A dead deal.
It's
a
dead.
So, and he knows that. So.
Okay.
Just to catch.
On that note about when bills are coming out, it's going to be slow this year, worse than it was last year. The Attorney General stuff has really bogged down the staff in ways that it's going to have an impact and go really, really slow this year. And that's going to, even though that part of that's been resolved, some of it hasn't, that's going to go through the session. That's my guess too.
Okay. Thanks for your report. Appreciate you representing.
Thank you.
We're going to have a discussion with California now. We've got the chairman, Ted Caldwell, And the executive board, Rachel Taylor, Tom Fowler, and Ryan. So is Rachel going to be the spokesman?
I'm going to start.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if Jamie can be my page turner up there.
Michelle. Or Jamie.
Thanks.
Now that the overhead is working, I panicked and ran and made copies. So just for clarification and maybe for the public, I'm Rachel Kaler. I work for Wasatch County as the events and marketing manager for tourism and economic development. So my role in Cowboy Poetry is the marketing and promotion of the event. And so the presentation, my portion of it, will be focused on the marketing and the promotion and what the economic impact is. So if you'll just turn to that first slide. So I'll be presenting what is Cowboy Poetry, the purpose of it, the marketing of the event, and what the impact is on this community. Tom Fowler, who is our financial lead, will present the event financials, and then Ted Caldwell will talk about the future of the gathering. So next slide. Preserving the Western way of life. This has always been a mission statement. It is a 501c3 organization. It is a nonprofit organization. And the whole objective has always been to keep the heritage of cowboys and Western way through music, poetry, and art. And we bring in entertainers from all over the country. We have started an education outreach program. And you can see by the quality of the entertainers that the level of preserving this heritage has increased so much so that we're really looked on as an icon across the country, really, for this type of music and this type of poetry. Go to the next slide. In 2013, Cowboy Poetry received a really distinguished award from True West Magazine, and that was the best cowboy poetry gathering in the country. And the reason why this is truly a distinction is there are at least 8 to 10 cowboy poetry gatherings of recognition. There's Elko, there's Santa Clarita, and for a magazine that really is in that Western genre to represent us as the best cowboy poetry gathering was truly a remarkable event. You know, they sent us a nice little plaque, but I think it really reflects on just what cowboy poetry is in terms of national attention. We are known as an event that attracts people from all over the U.S., and we have started to see an interest in Canada, as we've had people come from Canada and make this a destination event for them to come to. What's interesting from an entertainer standpoint is they are really looking at this event as a must-have for their portfolio. We get hundreds of CDs, of demo CDs, of entertainers that want to come and continue to call and almost harass trying to get on the lineup each year. And that's really significant as you look across events and entertainers that want to come to this event. This is a niche market. This is absolutely Western music and cowboy poetry. It is not for the general public. It's a niche market, and we recognize that, and we'll talk about how we market to that. This year, we account for just over 10,000 people into our community during the off-season, October 30th through November 2nd were the dates of the event this year. So, next slide. I want to highlight, and not spend too much time, but we were able to receive grants and contributions for our education outreach program. The George S. and Dolores Dorr Eccles Foundation contributed $15,000 to our education outreach program, and we received grants from Utah Arts Council, just over $2,000, and then Honer provided 500 free harmonicas that we then gave to the fourth grade students. So if you have a fourth grader, I'm sorry. If you don't, we've got kids in the community that are very jealous of these little silver harmonicas that the fourth graders received, and we're so excited, and the teachers are excited, and you'll see them again. They're incorporating it into their curriculum, and we'll be using them for the Utah program at the end of the year. So the reason why this is significant really is to receive grant money from the Eccles Foundation and from the Utah Arts Council really is a feather in our cap. There is so much competition for these grants. And for them to recognize the importance of our heritage and our cowboy Western way of life really is important for us. And to have them recognize and be willing to put money behind these types of activities, we feel like it's been very significant. So the next slide, then our interaction with the Wasatch School District. So through our education outreach program, we reached just almost 4,000 elementary students who watched and participated in this year's Western Assemblies. Again, the 500 students that received the free harmonicas and 90 minutes of professional instruction. And if you weren't at one of those assemblies, it just was one of those times where you see a child's eyes light up as they receive the harmonica, and by the end of the 90 minutes we're able to play Red Ribbon Valley. And it was great. It was really fun. And to have parents stop me in the grocery store and say thank you. I have a son or I have a daughter with special needs, and that changed them. So, you know, we wanted to recognize, and Honer, we weren't able to get all the funding we needed for this program, and so we went to the manufacturer, and they sent us the harmonicas for free because they felt like it was a significant enough thing that they wanted to make sure that the kids had those harmonicas.
Will you play for us, by the way, before you leave?
No, I just brought a visual.
Oh, come on. You were in the, weren't you there at the 90 minutes?
I was, and I did bring my music. It's all up
now. Oh, I understand.
So Gary Alvaretto was the musician that instructed, and he goes all over the world. He went to Haiti after the earthquake, and really he has a talent for teaching kids how to play the harmonica in a way that I've never seen. It's not about the notes. He really showed them on 1, 2, 3, all the way to 8, and how to cover it. And I think, Kit, maybe, is your daughter 4th grade?
No, thank goodness.
Also with the school districts, you know, we work with the FFA, and then we give a significant donation to them that they use for their national trip. And then the high school choir and band students, we use as ushers and volunteers. The theater students help with the technical aspect. And then free lunch. You know, this is a significant cost to us, and yet we want to make sure those teachers are taken care of that Friday when we're basically taking over the high school, so we feed them and the administrators lunch the Friday of Calvary Poetry. Also, the overtime paid for the janitorial staff and support. And just so you know, tomorrow we'll present to the school board and present the same information. The feedback we get from the janitorial staff, while they're there and it's overtime, for many of them, this is their Christmas money. This is an opportunity for them to make money that just doesn't cover the bills, but gives them a chance to have Christmas, and so they're thankful for it. And then the community volunteers, and I know many of you come and help that event, but over 250 community volunteers with no pay and maybe a ticket or two are willing to come and spend many hours at the gathering to put on this event. So the next slide, just a couple of the pictures. Heber Valley Elementary is huge, over 800 students there, and Midway Elementary, the Wranglers, they love it. It's part of their brand. And then the FFA students. That this year we purchased bright green T-shirts, asked us for help, and people did. And they were around and they helped. And it's good training for them. It's life training for them to interact with people and to be out in the public. So we're grateful to have them. So the next slide, we're going to move right into marketing, unless anyone has questions about the education program. Really, so this is my second year with Cowboy Poetry, and I won't profess to be an expert at the Western way of life, but it's been a really good learning curve, a steep learning curve to understand the cowboy markets. But really, by understanding our fan base, I'm figuring out how we can attract new customers to the gathering. It's also one of our greatest challenges. I'm sure you're not unfamiliar with the gathering and those attending. I often call them the white hairs. And the fear is that as they age, cowboy poetry will decline, the number of attendees. So really that is our challenge. How do we reach out to the Steve Capsons? And Steve and I have talked about this. We're not the target audience. How do we convert those people that might not be the target audience to become that? I really feel like the success is by direct marketing, through email, through targeted banners, and targeted magazine advertisements. American Cowboy, about a month ago, I talked to them about we're having our 20th year next year, and so are they. And they are highlighting us in the February issue as one of the events to hit in the 20th year. It's building those relationships and starting early in the year so that we can reach people that may live in Calgary, Canada, or Florida, or Wisconsin, and put in their travel for 2014 to make a destination stop here. And then, of course, the Google search and just advertising. Really, we have to target our advertising. We can't do just general. We can't do TV because we can't afford it. But understanding who the audience is and how to reach them. So if we'll go to the next slide, just an example of some of our national marketing campaigns. We usually buy a third page so that we are getting the page but not paying for the whole page in these specific niche markets. And then this year we launched a new website. Hopefully you've taken time to look at it, Heber Valley Cowboy Poetry. Very well done. It definitely gives a fresh look to our gathering and really shows the professionalism of our gathering. And then on a side note, the feature artist this year was a gentleman by the name of Chris Owen. He'd never been to the gallery before. He was not able to attend. He lives in Montana. His art is not sold anywhere in Utah. And he was able to sell this original oil canvas for $35,000. He attributes a lot of it to the exposure that he saw, because we use that feature artist on all of our marketing. So you'll see how it relates back to the third page ad that is in that national campaign. So even our artists are seeing the value in being spotlighted, and we don't pay them to be an artist. We ask them to donate a print, a digital copy of the print that then they use for marketing. It was funny, after we talked to people about the value of that original art, our poster sales went up. It's funny how that relationship is. Just a couple of notes on the Wasatch Front Media. As you know, we use a PR firm, Intrepid, and by working with them, they were able to secure some really good feature articles in the Desert News, the Salt Lake Tribune, Provo Herald, Park Record, the Standard Examiner, and then the Wasatch Wave as well. And those were between a column to some two or three page articles. Zion's Community Bank magazine also featured us in their September-October issue, which was a great feather in our cap. They are very picky about who they feature. And that was almost a 13-month process in between talking to Zion's Bank Community Magazine and actually having the article happen in their magazine. So for our online impressions, we talked about this before, a couple of things to note. The click-through rate on average is 0.1, which you'll see reflected in the Salt Lake Tribune and Yahoo. But it's interesting with Desert News and KSL, we're almost at 0.7, 0.71, and 0.75, which are just outstanding click-through rates for banners. And we see that as really those people that know cowboy poetry that are clicking on it to buy tickets. This year, we also focused on our email list, and we were able to grow that list by 1,000. We had 6 email blasts in 2013, which resulted in 26% read or clicked through email links. The average on this is 19%. So we're above average on both banners and email, and I really attribute that to the loyal customer following that we have. We'll go to the next slide. Again, I've talked about the new website. Really, it has changed the look of cowboy poetry. For so many people, the web is where it's at. When they're looking for information, when they're looking to buy tickets, this website increased our ease of navigation, increased our online ticket sales, or at least made it available for people that might not have looked into it before. And some of the information from our website, over 21,000 website visits, 14,000 unique visitors, which equates to about 67% new visits. And of note, 108 visitors from Canada and 18 from England. So this is where I say we really need to focus on becoming a destination, reaching out to those niche Western loyalists and bringing them here. Visitors by city, of course, Salt Lake City is the highest percentage, in West Jordan and South Jordan, and then Heber and Provo are right there in the neck and neck, and everything else below that. But we know that our market is right here along the Wasatch Front, and it shows in our website. But the market that we're trying to go after is beyond, is reaching out. And their numbers aren't going to show up because they're not significant. So you're looking at a couple from Calgary, Canada. You're looking at 6 people from Florida that made the trip out of 4 years of planning. And those won't show in statistics, but they show in the conversations that we're having with our interviewers. The next section, it's just 2 slides, economic benefit to Heber Valley. And I have to tell you, I personally called all of the owners or managers of the hotels here in the community, Max Motel, M-Star, Holiday Inn Express, to get these numbers. And the Zermatt and the Homestead, of course, were significant. So between the dates of October 30th and November 2nd, cowboy poetry can attribute to 1,872 room nights during the gathering. We were looking at just over 2,000 total rooms for the community during that time. But as I talked to the Zermatt, you know, we recognize that not everyone is here for the gathering. They have other conventions going on. But they, each one of them, and the one that surprised me really was Max's Motel. He said 14 rooms, three nights, booked every night. They were all cowboy poetry. And he said, I recognize, I'm the cheap guy. I'm the guy that they're coming and they don't want to pay a lot. He said, but mine is empty the weekend before and full during cowboy poetry. So a significant economic value to our community. Travel-related expenses, we're looking at $1.6 million in travel-related expenditures that are spent in Wasatch County during the gathering, with a total economic impact of 1.8, which includes the lodging. And this is based on the Utah Office of Tourism calculator, so it's based on the room nights, the number, the dollar amount spent by individual, and then pushed out. So if there's any questions on the economic community, we'll go to the business community economic impact. And these are based on real numbers. This is from the checks that Cowboy Poetry prepared for the businesses here in our community. And it's significant. $76,000 in direct payments to businesses in our community, including hospitality, Soldier Hollow Grill, Tara Namara, Meters, Dickies, Dairy King, and Fresh Bakery. We contract or partner with all of those restaurants to bring in catering, to bring in the Midway Steak Dinner, Meters for the Green Room, with over $9,000 in payment for hospitality. Advertising, money that we spent here in our community, Lone Pine Images, CRC Signs, Ignition Graphics, which does all of our graphic work, KTMP, radio ads, and the Wasatch Wave promotion, over $16,000 in direct advertising spend. Lodging, with our partners, we work with them on a discounted rate to put our entertainers up while they're here, over $11,000 in lodging costs directly to those hotels. Heber Valley Railroad is a partner on our Cowboy Poetry Express, $4,200 to them. The Zermatt Dinner Show is ticket revenue that goes directly to the Zermatt. Cowboy Poetry doesn't take a dime from those tickets, and it's a direct payment to them, over $18,000. And then we talked about the high school custodial services administration, and then the donation to the student clubs, which equals over $16,000 in benefit. So that's my presentation on marketing and economic impact. If there's no questions, I'm going to turn the time over to Tom Fowler for the finances.
Thank you. Let me, first of all, say I'm very happy to be here to report this to you. I'm new to the community. Came here in April of 2012. Retired here to Utah. I'm actually from the Midwest. I have a brother at Hill Air Force Base, so we decided to come out and see the area and just fell in love with it, which I'm sure most of you have as well. So we're enjoying the community. And it's my first year with Cowboy Poetry as well. But what I wanted to do is kind of, first of all, just show you some of the history and what I did when I came in. I have a finance background, so it was very important to me to kind of understand the data. And let me first say, when you're generating $1.6 million of economic value to the community, our goal here is to put on a good show, make sure we don't lose money. That's our commitment, make sure we can survive and we can do the cowboy way of luck, and we can come back to you and show you that we're being financially positive in our approach. And if you look at the first few years, it's been up and down over the last 3 years, and I'm sure they've come in and presented to you, and in some cases come in and ask for a little more money to try and make sure we can make the next year. We wanted to make sure we could turn that around. So I'm happy to say we did make money in 2013. So we're not coming here to ask for more. I'm coming here to let you know that we did make money. And so what we did, if you take a look at the next slide, as a group, go to the next slide for me. What we did is we put some financial objectives and actions in place. So if you take a look at what we said is what we need to make sure that we have some consistent positive income in order for us to meet our mission statement. And in order to do that, we need to bring a disciplined approach to our financial aspects. We use financial analysis, decision making, ensure ownership of the budget numbers. So we can go in there, and I think the board, when Chad gets up and the board comes up and talks to you, they can talk about each one of their budgets and what we're doing. And when we had our meeting with our group, the communication with the team members was, know your budget for the year. Let's talk about it. Let's present the budget. Let each of us talk about it. Make sure you can live within that budget. If you don't have revenue projection, make sure you're hitting that. If you have any surprises coming, let us know that right away so we can react. And that was the goal we put in front of the group. So if you look at 2013, which is the next slide, what I'd like to present to you is the fact that we did make money this year, about $12,000. So my point to you is to make sure the strength continues, make sure that we're not in the red. This is a very difficult show in the fact that probably 40% of the revenue, 40% of the ticket sales happen in the 2 weeks, the week of the show and the week prior to the show. So you've got all your budgets. You pretty much have the hotel rooms. You pretty much have the entertainers. You pretty much have all the expenses that you need for that show booked. And yet, you're hoping that the revenue comes in. It was a, was something that Ted and I, the group, would sit and talk about all the time. And so you've got to ensure that we are being what I would call conservative in the numbers, coming obviously from a for-profit firm. You want to make sure you can hit your numbers. So we did. We made about $12,000 this year. And we feel pretty comfortable on how we achieved that. If you take a look at the next slide, we did take a look at what we presented to ourselves. Is how did we do against our budget? We still did not hit the budget. We said that we were going to try to make $20,000 this year. And in fact, if you take a look at the way we missed that $8,000, again, I think when you look at the expenses, we pretty much had expenses in control. There's ups and downs. This is like anything else. If you're an accounting or finance person, you're going to have offsets. But in general, we hit our operational budget. The issue that we have, and Rachel talked about, is the top line. And what we put in there for the budget last year was pretty much that $192,000 of 2013 was to try and hit what we achieved in the prior year. Pretty close to what we did in the prior year. When we actually sat in our pre-meetings, we had revenue growing at 10% was the original budget. We said, no, let's not do that. Let's set all our operational expenses based on flat revenue growth. Luckily, we did that because we were down from the prior year. But because we were looking to have a $20,000 gain, we still made money at $12,000. So I'm here to report to you that, you know, we made money this year. I think we have the discipline and the approach going forward on how we budget, how we manage those expenses during the show. Then we come report to you what we think the budget's going to be. We'll hit those numbers or become close to those numbers. That's the goal. So if you go to the next slide, one of the things I wanted to show you, because it was kind of a ha-ha for me, and I'm sure for others, is we use Easy Ticket for all of our ticket sales. And so they have a big database. We can jump in there and try to do some reports. And so we ran some reports and we pulled together some numbers. And if you look at this, it's really kind of a telling story. These are actual number of tickets. So you think about what Rachel talks about is about the Western way of life. That top line of tickets, which went back in 2010 was about 15,000 tickets, and has dropped to about 11,000 tickets. Those are tickets that we give out. They could be free tickets. They could be sold tickets. They could be Zermon tickets. And to step back a minute, Zermon, we have a different relationship with Zermon. We don't. We sell tickets, but they pretty much get all of the ticket revenue. And then they give us free rooms. So we're going to work on maybe trying to change a little bit of that arrangement so we can draw some of that money to this, to our event. But in general, when you take a look at the tickets, Rachel made a comment about the fact that how do we go about reaching that. I think Rachel's now got the term the Rhinestone Cowboys, which is that 25 to 50-year-old group. How do we continue to maintain that base of customers today or that we have today? And how do we keep that? And then how do we grow that with the newer generation? So when you look at this and you look all the way down, our cowboy, what I call cowboy poetry revenue tickets, so that's where we gain revenue or income from the ticket sales, they've gone from about 7,800 down to 6,600. And we kind of helped offset that because ticket sales have been relatively flat through price. We've taken, you know, 10%, 5% increases over the year. And that's going to help us offset the volume loss we've had. So it's kind of telling. It says we've got to reverse that trend out for the revenue tickets to grow this. If we want to continue to drive this $1.7, $2 million of economic value to our Wasatch County. So if you want to, the last slide that I want to put up is some of the things we talked about going forward. These are some of the ideas, and I think this will be expanded when Ted comes up and talks a little more. But you know what? it's very clear we've got to expand our ticket revenue base. We've got to reverse the trend that we have. You know, as Rachel said, we need to broaden our advertising market to both the U.S. and outside of the U.S. We're getting a lot of, you know, we have people that say from England are excited, we've got Canada, we have this become a destination base. You know, market to that next generation of Western art and music fans, which we're not going to call the lines from college, probably, you know, the term that we use. How do we get those youngers? You know, we went to Zion Bank, who's obviously one of our biggest sponsors. And one of the things we did after we talked to Scott, is we just walked around and talked to some of the younger people there. And we said, well, what do you think about cowboy poetry? And they said, well, it's a bunch of people just reciting poems, right? And so, you know, they're not really aware of what we're doing. And that was one of the reasons we changed the title to Western Music and Cowboy Poetry. So in our marketing, we would start getting that. And these people understand that. So we need to somehow attract those new opportunities, those new customers. The other thing is we need to do is, you know, we need to bring in some new entertainers. Like Joan Roy is a big, big draw. Now, you know, she's pregnant and there was at the meeting, so they're not going to be here this year. So they attracted some of that young crowd. So what is that next group that can do that, both country and Western, that we can bring forward to attract some of these? And so that's one of the things we got to look at. We're going to ask, and we need to continue to support the government and the sponsors. When you look at the numbers, between 30 and 35% of our revenue is through sponsors, right, or through yourself, through the government. And again, I'm an income person, corporate guy. And you pull that out and you take a look at what you would need to do to break this thing, it's impossible. You just can't do it. You can't reduce revenues by 35%, put on a show like this and expect to make money. We're going to need to continue your support. And as I look at it, what we give back to you is this 1.7 to 2, hopefully growing that number to economic vitality for the community. The other thing is we need to build a reserve. All of us finance people, you've got to have a reserve. You can't go into the show knowing that 35 to 40% of your sales are going to come in the week of the show, in the week before the show. We need to do something. And so what is that percent? We haven't decided what that is yet. But we need to build a reserve over the years that makes us feel comfortable that if we drop our ticket revenue by 10% from what we planned, it can be covered without, remember, we don't have any money. We live year after year based on how much money we bring in. So we need to have a reserve. If you look at just 10%, you know, you're looking at a pretty big number, $20,000 number just to have 10%. So we're not even there with what we made this year. And then lastly, we talked about, is there opportunities to do a mid-year, some type of a fundraiser to put that money in the bank to help us grow? I mean, this is going to be our 20th anniversary, and I know people are very excited about it. Can we do something special? We can't go overboard because we don't have the money. You know, we're thinking about if we could get incremental sponsors or grants in the neighborhood of $50,000 to $75,000 over and above what we have today, could we go out and get a big-name entertainer in, market that to the organization, and get a lot of these younger generations in to start understanding what we're trying to do? So it's another opportunity that we're trying to do. So with that, let me turn it over to Ted to kind of probably give us more of the vision of where we're trying to take this.
Okay, I'll be brief. First of all, well, let me acknowledge the commitment that Wasatch County has already given to us in terms of finances, grants, the facilities that we use, the personnel within the county that assist us, and then each of you that volunteer yourselves during the show to take tickets or whatever you do. Thank you for that. I appreciate that very much. As you know, as we came to you beginning of this year, we were kind of diving in this thing a little, even though I've been around for a lot of years, really the whole time, I was not involved with a lot of the decision making. I was more involved with the operations. And so we were a little bit desperate in terms of our attitude this year going in. And I can't overemphasize the value of the marketing assistance we've had. We made some significant changing going away from TV and to the internet, which reduced our costs substantially and really did not reduce our impact So that those some of these marketing decisions and efforts have really been a benefit to us. And then getting a handle on our finances with Rachel and Tom. And really the help of all of our executive committee and our board has really been a strength for me, at least, stepping into it pretty green on the decision end of it. So we appreciate that very much. So why should we keep going? Well, it's our 20th year. Can't stop before 20th year, right? And I just really believe it's a good fit for Wasatch County. And we hope that we can always be a good fit for Wasatch County. It's a destination event, and all of us love those. At least the business community loves destination events. And then a variety of folks benefit from that. We love the involvement in the schools. I attended some youth assemblies this year, and I just really enjoyed that. It was just so good to see these kids really get into this harmonica thing and have some fun with it. I just felt like it had a great impact, and a lot of students were involved. And they really did play Red River Ballad, right? I mean, they did it. Well, sucked. And then the broad community participation. Really, there were so many folks in the community that stepped in and helped us. And we didn't that didn't go anywhere away this year. We had that help this year. It was so good to see that come along. So in our future, been talked about here some, we have to expand our audience. We have to continue to seek quality entertainment vendors and food suppliers. I think we do need to improve our event, improve our activity at the event center. We've had a lot of discussion about this. And that will be a significant part of our early discussion this year of how to do that. And then to be fiscally sound and responsible in terms of ticket sales, expenses, sponsors, and the support of public entity. So in concluding, one of the eye-opening things for me was that you're never going to make a lot of money with this kind of thing. And, I mean, that's just something you recognize. The expenses are high. I guess that's why we're nonprofit. It's difficult to get this on top of this thing financially. So we're grateful for the support. We feel like we're going to have to keep earning that support from the county to some extent, and we'll press on. So we're headed for our 20th year next year, and we appreciate all your efforts. Any questions before I go on?
Steve's on the board and things. It's encouraging for me to just see the enthusiasm. As we looked at it a couple of years ago, it was kind of, I'd lost my enthusiasm just because of kind of the attitude I felt. But boy, it rejuvenates me. I'm ready for next year already. So thanks for your enthusiasm and your commitments. I think it's great for the county.
It is.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Pam, you want to make your discussion? Pam's going to talk to us about the Memorial Day program. She's back with us and ready to go.
Yeah. actually, we've made a lot of progress, and I do have a committee. The people that whoever spoke, I think is it you two that spoke to the veterans, and then they contacted me. And that's my weakness, and you know that. but the one thing that I wanted to talk about is that I have spoken with the National Ability Center, and I had gotten something in the mail from, you know what happened last year when I got something in the mail, who I wrote a letter to. But,
is he coming this year?
No, I have an extended invitation.
That was prison.
But they were. I got something in the mail from the Wounded Warrior Project, and the National Ability Center. I had heard that they work with the Wounded Warriors. They have their. They work with the project, which is national. And what I was thinking is, if we could get some Wounded Warriors to come to the event, because I think that sometimes people forget about what the sacrifices that people give. If you have a mental problem. People don't normally see that, but if you see somebody who doesn't have a leg or an arm, maybe they're going to think a second time about what our veterans have sacrificed for us, because I think that we have, over the years, have forgotten about that. And so I talked with the NAC, and they do have a program there in Park City, and I was wanting to raise money. And so my thing was, I don't want to go to the businesses because the businesses get hit all the time. And I was thinking that if the community, if everybody just gave a dollar, we could raise a lot of money. I mean, I know that some people will give more and some people, if you give a dime or a quarter, but it will be from the community. And also, and I'm kind of not exactly knowing how, you know, I wanted to know if I could just set up an account at a bank and see if people could drop it off, but I don't know the best way. My committee meets January 9th, and I have these ideas. I just don't know how to implement my ideas.
Probably do that, Mike, and I'm looking at you and Greg. Maybe we ought to do that with the Park and Rec. I think they're already set up as a
501c,
and they're gonna support you and help you, you know. And so
maybe we can get with Tom and see how the best way to do. He probably knows without even thinking about it.
Yeah, but do something like that through them. I mean, and, you know, they could gather it and hold it in a separate account or whatever they do. But that might be a way to handle that other than just doing it through the county. What do you think, Mike?
I would suggest that would work best going through the partner.
Because they'll be working with you with, you know, the outdoor arena and that type of stuff. So let's kind of include them in your discussions there.
Okay. And and then also the National Ability Center said that they would help with fundraising, but they go after huge donors. And I will talk to them. I don't exactly know what that entails, but, I mean, that's who they go after. And so I was wanting to know whether or not you guys want involved in that, where we go after huge donors. It will be for the Wounded Warriors, and it will be from Wasatch County.
Well, I think so, Steve. Don't you kind of represent us, and you can just kind of be in on the discussions?
I'm glad to.
Okay.
And, yeah, I'd be glad to.
Okay. In this discussion with the NAC, just for everybody's knowledge, is there's a gentleman that lives in Midway, and he's a vice admiral. And he wants to be on my committee, so he's going to come to my meeting on January 9th. And he sent me his bio, and it is very impressive. I didn't know exactly what a vice admiral was. It's a three-star general. And I'm trying to see if he also might happen to be a speaker, because he has spoken in Belgium at a couple of Memorial Day programs. So he's very familiar, and I think that would, you know, he knows what to say. And so that's another thing that I'm working on, and I just found out that I'd said that I would like to have Cal Giles speak, and we've got him. And so last year I had the speakers really easy. This year I've got everything else except for the speakers. So, but the Wounded Warriors also said that if we wanted, they could provide a national speaker from the Wounded Warriors. He's actually a Wounded Warrior. And so that's another option that we have. You know, so I think that if it's Richard Gallagher, I think that since he lives in Midway, if we could get him to speak, that would be, you know,
fill
a great
up the program.
Asset.
Yeah.
And just FYI, I've got, you know, the Honor Guard, which was the Heber City Police Department, which I guess they're now working with Wasatch County Sheriff's Department.
I think they are.
They're unified.
And so they're going to be the Honor Guard, and this year I'm going to have the American Legion Post do the 21-gun salute, because I was trying to make it more local. Last year I just didn't know, and I didn't meet the highway patrolman. I've spoken to this one gentleman every month to be sure that they were going to show up, but when they're coming from out of the area, I was panicking. So, but everything else, I've kind of, I do have, I don't know if you went to the Heber Valley Elementary School to the Veterans Day program. I don't know if anybody went. I didn't go, but I had read about it in the way. And so I contacted the gentleman that was the music director and the children's choir for they're going to be there.
Good.
So anyway, so that's just kind of an update. And will somebody get contact with me, or should I contact
them? No, you contact us. We got two veterans, both Steves are both veterans. They'll help out. I'll help out. So whatever you need, just let
I'll
us
talk
know
with Tom about the fund that
okay,
we need
and
to.
And how to set up so I can, because I, you know, would like to work with a WAVE and to get it advertised early. But I wanted to wait till after I met with my committee just to be sure that everybody's on board and so they can get the word out also. And so I'm trying not to be totally in control. Anyway, thank you.
Thanks, Pam. Appreciate it. All right, kind of on an uptick today. Let's go to Scott. Let's kind of continue this positive stuff we got going today. You want to kind of introduce our next one? This will be number 7 on our agenda.
Oh, I thought you were
going to
have the taxes.
No.
We're going to make that up.
As most of the council know, and I think Jay is on the advisory committee, Wasatch County has our Children's Justice Center.
No, I know.
And we have a really great team, and they go with a team approach. It includes law enforcement, it includes DCFS, it includes prosecution, it includes a lot of different members, and I'm leaving some out, and Kenneth can fill in on them. But kind of the they all revolve around the hub, and that's Canada. One of the things that we decided to do this year as an advisory board was to ask Canada to again certify us with the National Children's Alliance, which what it does is gives us a national certification, and it's a lot of work. And I think there was some hesitancy among the board members of whether or not to do that, but I think we kind of went ahead and asked her to do it, and we got that certification. And we got some really good feedback from at the state level, that especially the portion that was prepared by Kenna, which is our written portion, was so well done that they wanted to use it as a model throughout the rest of the state this year. And so after talking to Councilman Price, we thought it'd be good to have her come report to the council on what that means to be accredited at the national level to give us that sort of a certification that we're on the right track. I'll turn the time over again to tell us about that.
Well, I had a whole thing prepared to just update you on the whole what's happening with CJC.
Perfect.
I'm just going to start where I was planning on, okay? NCA is just a little part of it. Okay. It's brief, though. Have some statistics, which are kind of interesting.
Thank you.
So let me just start by saying last month we had 17 children interviewed with the CJC. This number includes a 14-year-old girl sexually abused by a 17-year-old friend, 5 and 6-year-old boys who were physically abused by their father, a 14-year-old girl who was sexually abused by a 19-year-old, a 16-year-old girl that was revealed that she'd been sexually abused by her uncle for years, a 4-year-old boy that had been physically abused by his mother, a 5-year-old boy that was suffering from emotional maltreatment by his mother's boyfriend, 16 and 13-year-old sisters who were victims of emotional maltreatment from their father, 12-year-old sisters who were physically abused and drug endangered by their father, and 2 young boys who witnessed domestic violence between their parents, and 5 girls between 6 and 13 who were sexually abused by a family friend. So that was just last month. The paper I distributed to you shows our statistics for 2013, and you'll see that we conducted 113 interviews at the CJC since the beginning of this year, and 54 of those were alleged sexual abuse, 28 physical abuse, and additionally, families and concerned individuals wander into the CJC or call every single day with child abuse questions and reports. So let me just move on to funding really quickly. We continue to, do you have any questions about those statistics?
What's the courtesy interview?
The courtesy interview is one that we do for another county.
Okay, that's what I thought.
We continue to get about 80% of our funding from a state legislative appropriation. It's 80%. This pays for all of my salary and all my benefits, part of our utilities, our office supplies, and some mileage. We have been receiving $5,000 from Heber City for the last couple of years, and we also get $9,000 from the National Children's Alliance. Other funding we receive from miscellaneous fundraisers, donations and grants pays for equipment, furniture, and a big expense is training our team. We do spend a lot of money on training. We are right now presently in really good shape financially. We got our friends committee right there. That's basically all of them. And they keep track of a lot of money for us and hold on to it and do a great job. The NCA accreditation that I was just going to touch on briefly, Scott mentioned it. It's actually the National Association and the accrediting body for close to 800 children's justice centers across the country. And our CJC has been through and passed three different accreditations. They grant us $9,000 a year, and to remain accredited, there's 10 standards with a whole bunch of criterion attached to each standard that we have to uphold. After working on the documentation and the policies and all the other items that they required this year, I turned in all my packet in January, and in May we had two site reviewers from the National Children's Alliance come out and visit our center, review all our documents, interview our team members, and observe our case staffing. And then in October we were notified that we had received accreditation for the next 5 years. And like Scott said, we received really favorable feedback regarding our program here in Los Angeles County. The site reviewers wrote a note that said, they wrote this to the National Children's Alliance, the CJC building is beautiful and has an excellent flow for the work being accomplished there. This is an amazing team that works very well together. They have a true respect for each other and the roles they play on the team. There is excellent communication and they are very willing to help each other. This very strong program and team would be an excellent mentor program for other centers around the country that may be struggling. So I just thought that was, you know, a great compliment to our team and our program. And I feel like our county should be really proud of our CJC team that we have. They're awesome. I'm so happy to be part of it. And we want to thank you again for all the support that we get from the county, all the in-kind services as far as trash and lawn and all kinds of services from Scott and the other employees that help us out. We really appreciate it. Do you have any questions?
Questions for Kenna? You know, Kenna, we kind of done this under disguise of something else. She kind of downplays the fact that this thing, but to me it was a big deal because I got, maybe everybody didn't get the letters, but I got emails from people saying, this is a model program, like Scott saying, we're going to follow this. And for me, it was really great to only be when I'm there, you know. But Kenna downplays it. She's done an excellent job. What we want to do, Kenna, is we just signed a card of thank you. And we wanted to give it to you and recognize you for the great leadership that you've shown in the CJC. So thank you very much. That is a good point. Thanks, Ken.
Appreciate it. We're getting a cover on the stairs.
We are working on
it. I appreciate
it. I knew that question was coming
back. Thank you. Let's have a motion to win the special service.
So made.
Second.
Have a motion second. All in favor?
Aye.
Dale?
On that kind of special service, I number one, which is to have the warrants approved in the amount of $18,903.74.
I'll make the motion. We'll go ahead and approve the amount stated.
Second.
Motion second. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we'll proceed to vote. Mr. Ritter and McPhee.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Thanks, Dale. Thank Randall, who's going to handle this for the Board of Health? Dwight, Randall, Scott.
Somebody get up.
if there's something else, if someone else is planning on doing it, I just say you do it. I didn't know who had it. That's the use of the diesel.
Has everyone had a chance to read this? The only questions I had on this, Scott, was has anything changed? I just got this sixth amended copy or whatever it was, and I didn't know if there was any red line changes that we needed to be made aware of, or if it was just kind of the same thing, or where we was at.
I believe it's just updated a few things. I don't know what the red line changes are. Craig, who of our office, who looked through this, his dad's in the hospital, so he, at the last minute, wasn't able to come tonight. My question was, what about the county? We signed one of these too. And I think at the last meeting that you said had, we sent down a delegate who was at Joelle Rowley from the county. I think she agreed to that at that meeting and voted for it. And this is just something that I don't think the health department had a representative here. But we have looked through it from our office. And we don't have any problems with it, and are ready for it to be signed unless the health department themselves have some issues with it.
Any issues? If not, we're looking, I think, for a resolution number. I think, wasn't we?
Yes. I have two originals here for the council. That's,
I thought I read somewhere there was a resolution number 20-something. Oh, that's right. 20, but I don't know what it is.
That would have to come from the health department.
Do you know what the resolution? Let's just put 25. I know we wouldn't have exceeded that, maybe, would we have?
We've not done that resolution.
I don't think so. Let's would entertain a motion to accept resolution number 20-25.
What's this other one?
It's 03.
But that's a rule.
That's the fee, isn't it?
That's a rule, though. It's not a...
That's the fees. This one is our interlocal agreement with you, sir.
13-25 is the
13.25,
right?
No, 20.
Oh, it'd be
2013-25. Yeah, 2013-25.
Yeah.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? See none, we proceed vote, Mr. McPhee.
Yes.
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 Okay.
And that's the resolution. I also have the actual interlocal agreement to be signed. I have the two.
Okay, we'll sign that. And then the next one is the fee schedule. And as I look through the fee schedule, the only questions I had was on page 4. It says that we charge a $50 fee. I guess that's what that's saying. The consultation fee for foreign travel, and that, you know, when I looked over there, if somebody's going and doing a humanitarian mission or whatever, are we going to charge them to consult them what immunizations they need, or would we just charge them for the shots themselves? It kind of looks to me like we're going to charge them $50 to tell them what they need.
I'm wondering if that's when my son went to Brazil several years ago, he spent quite a session with Susan, and she gave some excellent training. She gave some excellent training to him of some things he needed to take care of and watch for and do while he was in Brazil.
That's also an existing thing. It's not a new
thing. Yeah, I see that. I see
that. She's one of only three, if I remember, only three in the state that are certified at her level to do what she does. So that's what that fee is.
Okay. I mean, if it's required, I'm fine with it. I didn't know if he was going to just talk to him and then give him a shot, charge him for the vote.
They come from all over the state just to come to this. So it's well worth
it. Okay. Any other questions on this? Now, how come it's called a rule?
When the health department we call it an ordinance with the county. We call it a rule of the health department.
Oh.
To help us differentiate, and that kind of tracks the language of the state code that says health departments are empowered to adopt rules and regulations to enforce their health codes in each county.
Okay.
So when I got here many years ago, they called them rules, and we just followed through calling them rules.
Mr. Chairman, I make the motion we go ahead and adopt Rule 03-2 as the fees authorized by the Board of Health.
Second.
And motion is second. Any discussion on that? Seeing none, we'll vote, Mr. McCree.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay.
Mr. Chair, I have a question. I don't know if Dwight didn't know or. I was looking at the fees here for these modified sewer systems that we approved a couple of years ago. How many of those do we have running now, and how are they working?
Very few, and we don't have any of those that are, well, we have maybe one that has a nitrogen reduction required. But this is just, in the future, it's going to happen. We need to.
I understand that, but are the ones work that we have working as we expected them to?
So far, but we haven't got a lot of history.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Any others?
Chairman, what happened, remember, Tracy was here several months ago with some changes they were looking for. What are we at in that process? Do you know?
I think we'll just wait for that to come back, aren't we?
Yeah, those rules were still, they'll come later.
Yeah, and as you get those changes, you just give us a little bit of time so that we can review those. I think there's a couple of us had some questions on it, so we just need to review those before we... Okay. All right. Thank you.
Should we start a radio program? Great.
We was in the special services. Now we're going to go.
They are a district.
They are.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So now we're going to entertain a motion to go
so
out of special services.
Second.
Motion to second. Those in favor?
All right.
So now we're out. Okay, let's go to... Need? Number one on the agenda then. Is Tyler here today? Tyler Crawford. Okay, I don't see him, but I think we've got it on the agenda. I think we've got an opinion from Scott. Steve, you wanted to read the discussion.
Yeah, we got a memo from Scott that kind of outlined the options we've got. Scott, you want to walk us through that? Now, just to bring you back to memory, this man was classified as a secondary resident for the past 5 years, and until this last year, just found out he was a primary. He wanted a reduction of 5 years. A refund.
Prior 5 years.
Yeah.
You're talking about.
I'll just quickly summarize and then read my a little bit longer than I usually like, but I wanted to cover the subject well enough. In Utah, based on a constitutional provision, the legislature has allowed what they call a residential tax exemption. And I apologize for those who know all about this. But if you have a residence in Utah that's your primary residence, you can get what they call an exemption, which is you reduce the value of the property by 45%, and then they're taxed on the 55% that's left over. State code also says that a county can require, in order for a person to receive that exemption, or we call it the primary residence tax rate, they have to file a statement with the county electing or claiming that exemption. Wasatch County has passed an ordinance that does require people to file that election and in order to comply or in order to receive that, someone has to file. Our understanding of the facts is that the person in question purchased a residence in Wasatch County, did not file the election with the county assessor or the county assessor's office for many years, has filed it in 2013, and now is being taxed at the primary tax rate, the primary residence tax rate, and is seeking a refund for prior years.
Any questions for Scott?
Under the state law, there are four ways you can come and pass. in and ask for a refund or a lowering of your taxes. One is the Board of Equalization. I won't go into that in a lot of detail. You know how that works. That has a time limit.
And did you?
It's kind of like a time period that you have to request that. That wasn't requested. The second method is an indigent taxpayer. That also has a time limit that someone has to come in and request an abatement of your taxes based on indigency. The third one is based on erroneous or legal assessment. After reviewing the law and the code in this case, our take on that isn't that someone could have got a better tax rate or they could have went to the Board of Adjustment. It's that the county made some mistake of fact or law when they were doing their job. And we didn't see that that's what took place here. So the final one, which may be the only avenue that the council could go, is I've titled it best interest, where the county, if they believe that it's in the best human interest and the interest of the state and county are served, they can go in and reduce or abate or defer taxes. And then, and this is on page 3 of the memorandum, talks about the process that we go through if the county were to decide that they wanted to do that. It's not something the county is required to do, and it's not something that I don't believe there's any appeal by if the county does or doesn't do it. It's just something that the county legislative body has the power to do.
Questions on those options? Okay. Peggy, do you have anything to add, opinions? Okay, go back to the council for discussion and consideration.
Mr. Chairman, based on the information that we have from our attorney and based on the information, I would make the motion that we deny the request for tax abatement for this individual. I think we set a precedent that we probably don't want to set. From my understanding of this, I think the county met their obligation. It's not our responsibility. Second.
Have a motion and a second. Discussion on the motion.
Got a question.
Yes.
So I know I read the thing you sent out, but if somebody comes in, there's nothing then that circumvents the personal, that guy from coming in or the owner from coming in and doing this. There's nothing in the financing system or anything that does it. It's got to be the personal responsibility. Is that that's what we're hearing? In other words, I don't think everybody comes in and throws a declaration at us. So how did the others get it?
Well, I think the title companies, by and large, try to help them.
That's my question.
But that's not this, their responsibility either. It's okay. The service they're providing for them.
And this is just for the record. So who's in it? And if it's their problem, that's what we need to be saying here.
I think it's the individual's problem, but their title company didn't provide that service apparently at this time. But that's not, county has an ordinance that they're responsible to come in and make a declaration.
I understand that.
So,
Scott, does our ordinance require a written statement or just come in and meet and say, this is now it's now my primary residence, where before it might have been secondary or whatever, and then verify that to the assessor's office?
I believe the assessor actually has a form that
we have a form that they fill out, and we ask for their current driver's license. We ask for something that proves they live there. Utility bill, if their power is $32, we know they don't live there. There's a lot of things that we check.
Okay.
Plus, we check their old address with other counties and other states. A lot of states, there's 13 states that do it the same way we do it. If they have another domicile in another state, they only can have one. So it's a big deal when they come in. But the title companies in Heber or Wasatch County do make them fill that out. Yes, we just get the others to do what we receive. And this gentleman wants it back. He noticed because his taxes were higher than his neighbors. That's the only way he noticed that.
Well, that was I think you answered the question, and the title companies have been doing it, but just not all of them.
Yes.
Okay. And I'm okay with that. I just wanted to make sure if we had that discussion.
Peggy, is there language on the notice as well that indicates for people?
Yes, there is.
There's a difference between a primary and a secondary residence?
On their tax notes, there is.
Okay. I wanted that
on. Also on your valuation notes,
on your valuation, both of them.
There is. A couple of years ago, we updated that.
Right.
And asked that be more specified on that.
Yep, we did.
Okay, any further discussion? I mean, this discussion is good, but We have a motion and a second before us. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we'll proceed to vote. Mr. McPhee.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Okay, that would be denied. How do we contact this gentleman? Do you do that, Peggy? Or
I can.
Would you please? Okay, thank you. Number three, holiday schedule resolution.
Did you all receive a copy of that?
No, I didn't.
I don't think so, Mike.
Can you tell us what it is? It's not that technical.
I don't have the copy of every day. Can come.
Are there any additional or any more or less days? Or well,
the same number of days, just defines the days as outlined. It would be published in the WAVE, so that would be noticed.
Can we just have one of those put in our box when it gets prepared?
Yes, but we do have to have a motion on it.
I'll make the motion. We approve the 2014 Holiday Schedule Resolution 13-22.
Second.
Have a motion, a second discussion on that. Seeing none, we'll vote.
Yes.
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 Yes. Thanks, Mike. Number four.
Are we skipping number two? Skipping not available.
Oh, shoot, I checked. Who's going to handle that smoke shop deal? Are you going to handle the smoke shop?
Yeah. We thought we had a finished product, but in speaking with Doug, we realized that it can't be complete until we adjust Title 16 to allow the smoke shop in that those areas. Right now, they're not permitted use.
In the industrial commercial,
they're not currently a permitted use in order, so we'd be requiring something that we don't allow on the other hand. What we request that the council let us go back and rewrite that so that it includes all of those and then bring it back to you.
So would it be appropriate to put this to the third reading in the interim? We could do that?
Yes.
Now,
or continue this on.
Yes. What date do you think that would be prepared by?
I think we can have that at the next date that the council would like gets back.
Where that's a Title 16, we don't have to wait until next November. We can do it as a
health, safety, welfare issue that you guys feel is important.
And I think we're continuing the item that was put on during the proper time.
Scott, we're under the process. Are we under a limitation that if anybody were to apply before we're finished?
We do have that limitation.
Wouldn't it fall under a pending ordinance, though? I mean, we would.
I think it probably would.
That was my question. So not that we will, but you never know.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'd make the motion that we move this to a third reading and in the meantime, fix the Title 6 or address Title 16 issues and continue this till the January 8th regularly scheduled council meeting.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. Mike, any discussion on that? Seeing none, we'll vote. Greg?
Yep.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Okay, that passes. Are you going to do number four also? Health board selection process that we talked about?
I'm happy to. I do have the proposed ordinance that we have prepared. It's really short, and it kind of includes
we needed to have this ordinance in place. I think actually advertisements may have come out today.
We couldn't find it in the paper, so I'm not sure it made it.
So it maybe didn't make it. Well, that's okay anyway, because we needed to do this ordinance, so.
And as you can see, if you have a copy of the ordinance in front of you.
Put it up, because I don't have mine.
Is it?
It basically opens up for the council to decide how they want to proceed. You look at number three there. Basically says the council will appoint the Board of Health, and you can use various methods to decide how you want to get candidates for the Board of Health. And I would probably suggest that you maybe pick one method if you're going to
I think the method we selected, we would solicit, I guess, Mike, you made your inquiries with Midway and Charleston.
I have with both mayors under the present. The new mayors may not know it. I don't know if Ramey talked to you or not, but she did talk to Mayor Whiting and also called a couple of people that she had and that he had recommended.
I know the last meeting it was discussed. Okay. Asked for suggestions. Now, are you still going with people in the medical field?
Well, that was one of the emphasis that we talked about. Somebody that's a professional in that area that is either retired, so they're not conflicting, or has interest in that field.
I think the one we mentioned ended up with conflict as I talked to him. That was
awkward. He did in the process of selecting the director, but I don't know that he would on the board. Oh, good. Okay.
Have you set up that they come to Jamie and get one?
They can go right on the website to our webpage and
turn them on. Can you turn those into Jamie and then show?
Okay, but let's get it in the Wave. Let's get it advertised in the Wave, and then they can do it on the website. And
well, Jamie, is it on the website now? Because yes. I couldn't find it.
No, it's always been on the website.
It's board applications. It's a generic
just board application.
There's no specific form for the board.
You just go under the manager's page, and it has on the bottom of the PDF. Okay.
Probably in Laurie's report this week, she'll have something about that anyway, so people should be aware of it. I think probably won't you, Laurie?
I think Dave probably is supposed to be doing that.
I spoke to Jeff Bradshaw for Heber City, where he was on the past board, and asked him to talk about that with Heber City Council when they met 2 weeks ago, I think it was. Okay, so I haven't come back to him to see what the discussion was, but...
Will you do that, make sure that Alan McDonald, the mayor, knows, because I think Alan was maybe out of the loop, or the... new mayor,
yeah.
To make sure that Alan...
He was on the other board, too, so he knew where we were, so I'll speak to Alan about it.
And then we'll get it advertised and get those in. So what we need to do is pass this ordinance number...
No, I'm not sure I have a number for it.
Brent, could you get that one?
I don't think this one I have is a current copy, because it doesn't read what yours is up there. Turn some page on to the front page of that.
It was the one that Craig prepared.
That's the one he did. But it's...
Is that it?
Yeah, but mine on that second page of the screen, the three, the one top has it. One of them is updated. Mine goes through number two, and then it goes with A.
I'm happy to go through the actual language that is the full one before I ask you to talk for us. But if you look at this is that. This is the code language.
And I think that was what was important. We just receive them, then we appoint them, and then they take over the operations from there.
Yeah.
Now, our understanding with the council wants is we wanted to get the best nomination, so if people want to apply, if people want to nominate, get the best pool of possibly good enough members, and then go through.
That's exactly right.
We wanted to have involvement from some of our jurisdictions to suggest.
Yeah. So let's assign that a... ordinance number, Michelle Canyon.
13-22.
Well, that was a holiday schedule.
That's a resolution.
Oh, resolution. Okay.
Do we need to do readings or just do it?
Yeah, we need it.
We've already done one reading. On this.
Yeah, that's what I.
No, this would be ordinance number 13-22.
So we're okay, we can do it today then?
Yes.
My understanding is we have one reading on this.
I understand.
This
okay. Mr. Chairman, I'll move that we have passed 13-22, Ordinance 1322, approving the process for selecting Board of Health members.
Second.
Motion and second. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. Greg?
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
Okay, thanks. I signed this one. If you need to prepare another one, it's all right, too, Scott.
I think that's fine.
Okay. Number five, last week, as you know, we had that listed as the council getting the cost of living increase. It should have said the county manager, so we need to ratify that action just to set the record, just so that the record's correct.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to ratify the action for the cost of living increase for the county.
We're fine now.
I'll second it.
Have a motion, second. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. Greg?
Yes.
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 Okay, thank you. Number six, Doug, the zoning map.
Back in November, the council approved three rezones. There were two in Wallsburg and then one on South Highway 40 at the old big stuff storage location. And I don't know what the proper protocol has been in the past, but I don't know if you want to see the changes we've made on the zoning map, and then I need Jay to sign and have Brent attest so we can scan that and put that on the 2014 zoning map.
But that was the only ones we've done in November. I think everyone's aware of them. I think what we would do is just entertain a motion to accept the zoning map as the changes made in November.
If you can sign that, I'll give it to them.
It already shows up on the county website with these changes now?
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't until this action's taken.
Yes. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to approve the 2014 zoning map with the zoning changes that occurred in November.
Thanks. Second. I have a motion, second discussion on that. Seeing none, we'll vote. Mr. McPhee.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Okay, thank you. Where are we at? Board assignments. Everyone received in their box a list of our current board assignments.
See that. I must just got today.
What we would do is discuss those. If anyone sees fit that they would like to change, or they need to be changed, or if they're overloaded or underloaded, that's up for discussion now. If you'd like to keep the same assignments, we can do that also. Whatever the Steve Capson, where are you at?
I'm good with where it is now.
Desire to serve anywhere else, or are you okay? Or?
I'm okay with where it is.
Kendall?
I'm fine with where it is.
Steve?
I'm fine.
Greg?
I have trouble making it to Planning Commission meetings on Thursdays due to work stuff. And if someone would be, I'm willing to stay, but if someone has a desire to be the Planning Commission representative, that would probably give us better representation on there. I've made it to a handful, but I'm not as good as I should be there.
Kip, you okay to go back there as a liaison?
Sure.
Or has anyone else got a desire to do that? Okay, let's change that to Kip. Where is that on there?
It's in alphabetical order.
In the P section.
The other one, Jordan L., will be moved down to all members of the, all serve on that board. We just need to make a line through that one. Jordan L.'s listed up there above, and that will go down to all are serving on the Jordan L. board. Anything else, Greg?
I'm good.
Kip?
No, I'm good.
Mike?
I'm okay.
Okay, the other discussion item we need to talk about is as far as chairman and vice chairman for the upcoming year. We should do that at the beginning of the year. We won't have any changes as members of the council coming on, so we need to discuss that.
As per tradition, I think it's for renewal this year. On. I just do want to vote today or wait till the first meeting.
I'd just soon vote today because we don't have any changes coming up. So
the tradition is every year or every 2 years?
Every two.
So it would stay the same. It
stays
that?
The same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Mr. Chairman?
I think we ought to have
it. Mr. Ahead.
Chairman, I'll make the motion we keep the council leadership.
Your neck's working good.
2014.
We have a motion. We have a second. Second by Steve. Any discussion? We'll vote Greg.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, thank you. Let's go to...
Do we need a motion to change the board assignments?
I don't think so. I think them are just assignments, Mike.
Okay.
We're okay with
no
that.
No problem. Good.
Jay, were you going to talk about a committee to work with the events and business license?
Yes.
I talked last time about the possibility of creating a working committee to meet bi-weekly to help with the countering and getting this change in the events transition. And I'd like to propose we have a couple members from the council work with that, Mike Davis, Tom, and John, Rachel, and Ryan. representing from law enforcement, representing from planning, just to help it through this transition.
I think Tom told me today, too, that he was, his plan was to try and meet with his department, as far as he and John, with Rachel and Ryan, once a week, too, in addition to that.
Yeah, and once we, this may not be necessary once we get everything up and going. But to help with the transition.
Okay, Greg, you're working on, or you're on the Park and Rec. Would you serve on there? You gave up?
Certainly can. One. Yeah, I would. That would be fine.
I'm just going to list this one. Jamie is as advance. Can we just call it advance? Okay, Greg would serve there. Anyone else have a desire to serve there?
If you need any extra, I would.
Mike, you would. What's that?
We're just calling it events committee.
Yeah. Anyone else have a desire? Let's have Greg and Mike Kohler.
Steve, are you? What about you? You've kind of been.
I'm fine. I've been unemployed. I've got plenty to do.
When did that? When was the meeting time?
We have you guys. We have meetings.
We can set that.
It's probably. I mean, they talked about doing it early on a day when everybody's, you know, kind of in early in the week in the morning time. So I we'll work around your schedule.
And maybe if there's a work issue,
this is to get one county calendar of all the events so that somebody can go on the website and find out exactly what's happening that week, the time schedule. To include the activity event center so we know what open nights are when people can plan on coming down to ride.
Now, I think this will work good because, Mike, you're on that
tourism
stuff. Greg's on the park, correct? So that'll work good.
Yeah.
Well, Steve.
Well, and if I run into an issue with the work schedule, I can contact Steve. Yeah, he can cover for me.
Vice versa. Is that sufficient to gather in the events that are being coordinated or approved? Not through the county, but through the various municipalities and also the state.
That other board is still going to be talking
it
about
is, but hopefully we can combine the two.
Okay.
I think they're starting to combine them now through Rachel, and I think our position is just to make sure that happens. We'll probably play a low role on that one.
Okay. Let's go to Mike. Let's go under manager to report the bids for the public defender. Conflict defender and contracts in the area of the conflicts.
We advertised for a little bit different scenario this year on our public defender and conflicts. Defender in the past, we have done a public defender contract and then have done hourly contracts for the conflicts. Due to the caseload and the intensity of cases, so forth, some of our hourly commitments were getting really high. So what we opted to do this year is we advertised for a public defender contract, and then we're going to do two fixed dollar amount public defender contracts. We'll do alternating between them, and then beyond that, we'll do hourly out of our pool of attorneys that we use. And so, as we asked for those bids, we did receive bids. We did receive on the public defender bid, we did receive a joint bid with a letter of explanation from Corbin Gordon and Ed Jones, and then we also received a separate individual bid from Ed Jones, as well as Facemeyer Law Firm and Stephanie Maya. In analyzing the bids and looking at the costs associated with that, I'm recommending the Facemeyer Law Firm at $63,000. The other bid from Stephanie Maya requested office space and some other things be provided by the county, so we didn't feel it was a little bit as that provided by the other, those the rest of them just paid. So that's my recommendation for the public defender contract.
Okay, public defender contract recommendation of Face Meyer Law Firm, $63,000. Is there anything that would require us to go into an executive session to discuss this? Anyone have an issue there? Seeing none, would entertain a motion to support the county manager in this recommendation.
I'll make a motion to support the county manager in awarding the public defender contract to Face Meyer Law Firm for $63,000.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
I have one yes. question, and this may be a technicality. I know that I was talked to, Corbin talked to me about the joint one and had an explanation, which I didn't quite understand. He was going to call you, but it seemed to, even with the bids, that what they were proposing would end up being less. Have you, you've taken that all into consideration?
Yes. My consideration is what they proposed, including the other bids, would be more.
Gotcha. That's what I just wanted to make sure, because I didn't understand, nor did I have the numbers to compare. So
I'll show you the next one. Yes.
Okay, good.
That's any all. Other discussion on the motion? See none, the vote, Greg?
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Thank you.
The second portion will be our conflicts. Defender, we received these bids. We received another joint bid from Corbin Gordon and Ed Jones, and then we received a separate bid from Ed Jones, separate bid from Brooks Sessions, and a separate bid from Janelle Bryan. In analyzing the bids and looking them over, I am recommending to the council to appoint Ed Jones and Brooks Sessions as our conflict attorneys.
Now, these attorneys, they do when there's a conflict with the public defender, then it drops to these. Is that, do
That's
I remember
correct.
That right?
That's correct.
So those two, if we accept those two, they work together, or they?
No, we will alternate giving cases to them.
Okay.
So if the cases come available, then they'll just get.
So how does that vary their bid? They said $30,000 per.
That's their bid. It's $30,000 for them to take the cases and throw out.
To take half the cases, technically.
Essentially, half the cases.
Yeah. That gets moved their way.
Yeah, on the conflict side.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a motion or a recommendation. Is there anything considering Ed Jones or Brooke Sessions that would require an executive session from the council? Seeing none, would entertain a motion to accept the manager's recommendation on these two firms.
Mr. Chairman, I would make the motion that we accept the manager's recommendation of Ed Jones and Brooke Sessions at $30,000 apiece to be our conflict defenders for 2000. These are 1 year bids?
Yes.
Or one for 2014.
Second.
A motion and second. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, we'll vote.
Yes.
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 The last thing we do. We did receive two bids for hourly conflict, which would be then past the public defender and two conflicts. What we are recommending, or what I am recommending to the council, is that we will offer a $75 per hour rate, and we will shift pools. We won't issue contracts with those attorneys. We'll just give them out and work with them as we have in the past. But the $75 rate will be the rate that we will do it at. So I'd like a motion to that effect as well.
Okay, I think that's at Mike's discretion, so I don't think we need to talk about them, but we would entertain a motion to offer the $75 per hour for the hourly rate.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make the motion to take the manager's recommendation and offer that $75 an hour rate to those two.
Have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
Second discussion. Seeing none, we'll vote.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Do you have anything else? We have one item, I think, for an executive session. I don't think we're going to have time to get to that until after. Mike, I think you had a question on this contract or this letter that
letter.
Was written.
I do. I do.
We'll discuss that in executive session. Let's go back to the board report. Steve Katzen.
Everybody's talked about this Wasatch Summit, and I sit on the board for that. There's some discussion of changing its name. I don't know how, but apparently they think that the name somehow indicates stealing, and they're trying to keep steer clear of stealing, because it is not stealing. I don't know how Wasatch Summit somehow relates to Sealink, but that's what they're looking at. So if you see a name change or you see something in the paper, that's what it's referring to. That's ongoing discussion. Otherwise, they're working towards getting going on the process.
Okay, as you know, we got some publicity in the newspaper relating to the train.
And he's good.
This relates to a disgruntled employee who was terminated, and he got an accident. I can't say too much because we got some litigation going with him. He was hurt. He took all the sick time he could. He went until workman's comp said they'd no longer support him anymore. Came back to work. He had so many problems, and it was in the best interest to terminate him. He was terminated, and since then he's went and made a lot of issues that we got to work through with him. He went to OSHA. There was 18 citations given. Most of them, well, the majority of all of them was minor citations. We had to put some guards on the old equipment we got. They made before OSHA came in, so that's being done now. We got until February to do that, so we're moving through it. The train activity's been going very well. We've been very busy. As you know, they make 3 trips a day and during the holidays, and it's full. Mark has been working hard with the legislature. It looks like we're going to make a proposal for some funding from the legislature for the internal or independent entity board, and it sounds positive. So that's all we got to report.
You know, as I read through that, it sounded like Mark answered a lot of those issues.
He did.
It appears to me like he's doing a good job.
He's doing a very good job. Like, I think this is a similar effect the same as we have with Cowboy Porter. We're finally getting on top of it, knowing where we're at, and moving ahead. We'll have most of the outstanding indebtedness taken care of here to the individuals. We'll still have our line of credit working on, but most of the private outstanding debt will be taken care of before the end of the year.
As I read through it, I felt it was fairly neutral. It presented both sides of the issue, and they seemed to kind of balance out. It was not knowing all the issues on the other side, it seemed to be fairly neutral to me.
Anything else, Steve?
No.
Excuse me. Greg didn't have anything to report. Kill.
Don't have anything.
Mike?
I don't.
I had one call from a citizen at the retreats at Jordan Mill complaining about a noise ordinance. I don't think we've got one. She sent me a copy of Utah County's, but it kind of gets to the same type of thing. I mean, we can pass ordinances, but then how do we enforce them? I wondered if it'd be all right with the council if maybe Mike Davis and I called the management group that oversees that and asked them if they could maybe get a handle on that. What happens is they're approved for nightly rentals, so they have individuals or groups come in and they play their radios or something with their bass way up high. And she's a resident there during the winter months, and so it's pretty disruptive. She let me hear it. It's pretty disruptive. But Mike, maybe you and I could just call the management team if that's all right with the council, and then we'll respond back to her and try to get her some satisfaction. I think she's got a legitimate complaint.
But would it be the HOA or the management team that ought to deal with it?
I think so. I mean, it's. They're the ones doing the nightly rentals, so we'll do that. We didn't look at public issues. I've kind of skipped over that a little bit from advice of Brent and some other things. I just mentioned if someone does have an issue for a future meeting, if you would contact either myself or Mike or 2 members of the council, that is the process of getting items on the agenda. We have about 5 minutes for our public hearings. We're going to just take a quick recess, at least for us, and then we'll convene at 6:00 for our public hearings. Your public hearings tonight. We're going to start, as you'll look at the schedule, we have three items that the Planning Commission heard. Number two on our agenda is VR acquisitions, and that is to vacate a flat. Number three is Lance Lawson is requesting combined two lots in Timber Lakes. Number four is Paul Burke, Ag's representative for CH-47, a zoning code text amendment. Is there anyone from the public here to speak to any of those three items? I'm opening the public hearing for any of those three items. Okay, seeing none, I'm going to close the public hearing portion of these three items. We do have a county report and a staff report prepared by Doug. As the Planning Commission considered them, they considered them and recommended unanimously approval on all three. So with that information, I'd entertain a motion, I think, from the council to approve item number 2, 3, and 4 on the agenda with the conditions and findings recommended by the Planning Commission.
Can we do that as just a consent approval?
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I would make the motion that we recommend or we pass items 2, 3, and 4 on the agenda of these three hearings with the conditions and findings specified by the Planning Commission.
I'll second it.
That motion is second. Any discussion on the motion?
For the minutes, we probably ought to have those three properties written in the minutes.
Oh, I do.
Good. Okay. That's all I was wondering.
I do. Why?
Good.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, we would vote. Greg?
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
Thank you and Merry Christmas.
See you, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff. So what we're going to do now is go back to number one on the public hearing. And this is a continuation of a public hearing that happened a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to turn the councilman Capson will lead the discussion.
The chairman probably indicated this is a continuation of our December 5th meeting. In the December 5th meeting we had a taxation hearing with a public comment period that was open and closed, followed by a budget hearing that was open and closed. For the public comment period. We're now back in our hearing. We made a motion to bring it forward to this day. Now, Chief Giles has asked for a moment here at the beginning to make some comments regarding some of the questions that were answered and clarify some things. I'll turn the time over to him and then I'll bring it back to the council.
Thanks, Chief. Just have a little clarification on some comments and a little information from myself as Chief of Wasatch County Fire District. I know there's been a lot of question asked of why this council is a fire board. Myself personally, I've served under mayors, council people, the council, really as a citizen, we have three representatives, not split up any more even than the council. This is a countywide fire district. It's not just a service district. And I believe you mentioned a great job. I think I've recommended things we've never always agreed, but hopefully we've moved forward to try to make the best situation. There was a lot of talk about transparency of the district, and I know we've set up a website a couple of years ago, and I've often asked in meetings, I hear a lot about it. If there's something on that web page that isn't on there that you would like on there, to let me know. I have yet to have anybody shadow my door or in my office to make any changes or to put forth any information put on that. There's a lot of information on that website. I know a lot of people at the hearing was talking about call volumes, where they were at, type of instances. They're all on that website, where the station locations are, what equipment is in that station. There's just a wealth of information on that website. Wages was talked about. Another misrepresentation. I mean, everybody talks about transparency. It ought to be on both sides. We received a 3% increase. It was in 7 years we received that increase. It's been 10 years on the volunteer side, but that 3% increase. There was a gentleman there that said he made $36,000 a year. I've got full-time firemen making $36,000 a year. We do know what it's like to raise taxes. They're taxpayers, property owners of the county. I've heard a lot, read a lot. Where's the money going? What are you doing with the money? Apparently there's a little Christmas song I've heard. Get the car key out of your ear. Apparently you're not listening. We've had three public hearings dealing with this. I've had two PowerPoints showing where the money was going, what we were using it for. We've had two open houses showing where this money was going, what the money was going to be used for. We have substandard equipment in this district. The average age of a frontline pumper is 23 years old. I'm talking the average age. This equates to a 1991. It was pointed out at the public hearing that I might be using some of the wildland tankers to bring that age down. That is Wasatch County Fire District frontline pumpers. That's what's coming out of these stations. 52% of the fire district's apparatus is over 20 years old. I'd like to tell a story about a fire incident, a scene. It was 2 a.m. in the morning when the alarm came out. High winds, a grass fire got out of control, and multiple structures were being threatened. Keep in mind, 2 a.m., pretty dark. Frontline pumper comes out of the station, drives 2.5 miles, makes a turn into the scene. A steering arm breaks on the fire apparatus, plugging the entrance to access the fire. What if this would have happened going down the road at 55 miles an hour? I know I've heard people talk about lawsuits. How can you put a price on a man's life or hit a family head on or kill somebody? We didn't know the steering arm was weak. It's hard to replace something like that. It's hard to see there's something wrong with something like that. We've done the best job we can maintaining this equipment. Getting back to the situation, the fire scene, the firemen are problem solvers. They grab it with their bare hands, the front tire, straighten them out, roll the engine with their hands, with one in the steering wheel, to get the truck to the scene. This didn't happen in Chicago. Didn't happen in Arizona. It happened in Wasatch County 2 years ago. That's the kind of equipment we're dealing with. When I say we're problem solvers, we respond to a lot more than just fires. Extrication, cutting people out that's trapped, hazmat. There was a semi right in this county, rolled over 2 months ago, show up oiling, spewing all over, down the gutter, across the culvert, ready to breach a creek. Fast response, good thinking. One of the firemen grabbed a chainsaw, cut a tree down, to pin up against the lid to seal it off. We are problem solvers, the fire department are. Another little story happened in the county just lately. Two firemen, volunteers, going to their day job, come upon a crash. Horrific. People are trapped. Truck's on fire. Fireman looks around and finds a generator that was spewed out over the truck, spilled. Picks it up, realizes he has a Sawzall in his truck, and goes to extricate these people. These are the type of people we have. I just feel like if there's a problem, let's fix it. If you do nothing to fix a problem, you're part of the problem. Too long, too many times, people has done nothing about the problem. At the rate we're asking for, a $20 to $30 increase per house, per year, it's going to take 12 to 15 years to replace these inadequate apparatus we have. By that time, the apparatus is equipped right now will be 20 to 25 years old. This is a line item that needs to be on the budget, not just one year, every year. If you actually look at what the price is of the rolling stock of the fire district and equate $300,000 into that, we're not even catching up. We've opened four stations to try to protect the citizens of this county. We've done our best we can. In closing, I'd like to ask the board to support the firemen. Support the citizens of Wasatch County. We have done it for the last 90 plus years. We need your help to have adequate tools, adequate equipment to respond. I don't believe $20 to $30 per year is too much to ask. If you equate this over a 25 year period, we have not asked for one thing. It's a dollar a year. Really, I don't think it's too much. I would ask the tax coalition if they think anything of the citizens of this community that they would get behind the firemen and support them in buying the tools and the equipment they need. For $20 to $30 a year, honestly. I appreciate the opportunity to serve as Wasatch County Fire Chief. I've been in the administrative end of this thing for over 20 years. I do know what it takes to run a fire department. We have done with so little for so long. We need your help. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll bring it back to the council. It's our obligation, it's our duty to pass a budget for 2014. Year. We have 2 weeks from the public hearing to do so. That puts us until tonight. So we need to pass the budget tonight as the governing board and the fire district. So I'll bring it back to the fire to the council board for discussion about the budget. We have a budget that's been proposed. Anybody like to speak to that? Are there thoughts on the budget?
You know, I applaud Ernie and the firemen for what they've done, and I see your point. I think there's room in this budget that we can make some adjustment and give you what you need with a long-term plan to give you the equipment. There's ways we can do it. We have in here an amount for $180,000 for attorney fees. I think that's an abnormal. I think we could... Normally, that should be running $25,000 to $40,000. I would like to suggest that we look at this $300,000 capital improvement and amend it to 150, dedicating the attorney's fees to it in addition, and work with Ernie and the CIB board and different pieces and places to get some grant money. We can get grant money to help get their equipment. We can, if we have to go to the USDA and get a loan, we can do that. There's ways we can do this. I'm concerned that we're going to have a number of things hit us in 2014 for tax rates. We got this fire thing, fire. We got the school district to be concerned about. We got the pool that people are trying to push. I know they're not necessary, but, well, they're necessary to the people behind it. We're looking at a possibility of a judgment levy against it if we do lose the lawsuits, and that will have to be added on the tax bills. I think there's, through planning management, by adjusting this budget, $150,000 down, making it less than powerful, make it more powerful to the taxpayers, we can do this. That's my thoughts.
Thank you, Steve.
Mr. Chair, I'll say something here. I appreciate Steve's comments on that. I have to applaud the firemen. My comments towards the budget have nothing to do with them, and I appreciate your passion, Ernie. We've been in this a long time together. But I agree with Steve. I would take one caveat to that, and that is if we as a board were willing to send it to the 2014 vote ourselves and let the public decide how much we need to do this, I'd be able to do that. Otherwise, I'm with Steve and would support a reduction on what is being proposed, pretty much on the same lines. So that's where I am.
What percentage would that reduction make
up? Probably just around 30, I think. I haven't seen Steve's exact number, but it's...
No, I don't think it would take it through down to 30.
Closer like 50?
Well, it'd take it...
Three quarters of it.
Around, what is it now, 76?
76.
So if you take 25% off of that, essentially,
it's 50.
It's going to be 53.
57.
I guess my concern is that we put this off and kick the can down the road like we have for the last 25 years. We're going to be back asking for more sooner rather than later. And if we can go through this once rather than two or three more times, I'm a taxpayer, I understand the burdens. We've identified the needs and then some. We still don't get to where, with this proposed budget, in my opinion, we still don't get where we need to be. But that's my opinion, and talking with a lot of constituents, I know there are those who don't agree. Take the personalities aside, take the misinformation and the other things aside, and look at the numbers, and they're there for this proposed budget. This still wouldn't even get back to address the vote. This still wouldn't even put the rate back where it was when the people voted in 1989. So I guess that's why I'm where I am in accepting the proposed budget.
So do you think, is there any common ground in between the two? Like 65% or something like that. That we can all agree on.
I was in public hearing. I have read, I think, all of the comments. I'm a little bit concerned about the amount of it. It appears, when you talk about percentages, it appears like it's more money than it, when you look at the actual dollar amount. We've been proactive as a fire board in trying to build buildings and facilities to accommodate our equipment and that. I mean, we've, you know, over years, Mike's group and that, done the Jordan L to address that. We've just done the Timber Lakes. Last year, we've done Wallsburg. I think with our agreements with Midway City has bought the old house. I think we've committed that we would redo that fire station over there. And so I think we've made a commitment that way, but I'm a little bit reluctant to raise the taxes. But on the other hand, we've got these facilities, and I think we need adequate equipment to put in them. When we talk about 23 years old, and I know people say, well, if they're maintained, they can go that, and they do, and they have, thanks to, you know, good people that's helping. But I think we've got to realize that we're a changing county, too. We're building different structures than we did 23 years ago, and we've got to respond to that. We need to support the people that's coming here. And so I guess I'm kind of, even though I know the percentage is a lot, I'm probably leaning to go with the proposed budget that we get the equipment. We've got facilities, and we will have the facilities. I think our next one in line is to redo here in Heber. I think that's in our plans. That's in our facilities plan that's been presented. I think that's what we need to do. So I'd like to get the equipment to that we can support our citizens and do the best job we possibly can. I understand the cost, but I sure don't want to lose a life, and I don't know what the cost is to get to the point where you don't lose a life. Maybe we're okay with it, but for $10, $15, $20 a year, I guess I can support. It's going to take us 10 years to even get to the point of replacing one of these apparatus. It's $600,000, and we take
$300,000.
I mean, I think our plan is $6 million in needed equipment. We're 10 years away from that. So I guess I'm probably ready to go now and bite the bullet, and hopefully through increased growth and that, we can take advantage of the new growth and not have to do this again. We may do, but I just soon only have to get kicked down the road once and do it once.
Mr. Chair, one thing, just for the record, I think it's for the public, the new facilities that we're building are being built by impact fees.
Yes.
And economized labor from departments in the county.
So yeah, you won't see the impact fees in the budget. There's been comment, well, where is
that? That's my point. I just wanted to be discussed. So the facilities are not in this budget for that reason. They come from impact fees and others.
That question's come before me, too, and I think people need to understand that the county has, these are multi-use the buildings that we have. The sheriff uses them, the search and rescue uses them, our emergency management uses them, ambulance uses them.
Public safety buildings is what
they are. They're a public safety building. Yes, the fire district uses as well. So I guess it's a little bit of a misnomer just to call them fire stations, but yes, those emergency facilities.
Yeah, I didn't clarify that. Thanks, Mike. But they are being billed out of impact fees money, which you won't see in the budget because that is set aside. You can't use that for operation.
You will find that at the back of the county's financial statements, that we schedule the impact fees on what's collected and what's used, those impact fees. So they're specifically for emergency management, that impact fee.
I do understand what Kip's suggesting, and Steve and Mike, that can we find some common ground? I hope we can. But.
Well, I think if we went at this and approved the budget and then work with plan each year, look at the budget, and try to maintain the certified tax rate. Growth is going to help cover that equipment shortage if we can adjust the certified tax rate to take advantage of it.
But we need to get back there.
That's where we failed. I don't think
we're way off of that, though, right now. If we can get back there where the citizens voted on that to begin with, that makes sense to me, too.
Well, I think citizen voted back in 89. We were talking a lot smaller population base and value base.
So but what that's kept us from doing is capturing that growth, right? It's dropped down because of that.
Right.
So we wouldn't be having
this. We're looking at a different scenario now. We're going to be facing new growth coming in. I mean, we're going to see values going up by changing the certified tax rate to manage that certified tax rate. Would be capturing that. And for those older properties or that don't change in value, there'll be no change in tax form. But for the newer properties, as they appreciate in value,
there would be a higher tax. We got a certain percent of this population here in the county that having a hard time making it now. And being a senior citizen, I have to represent that.
I think we all have to represent them, Steve. And as I evaluate it, I mean, the proposed increase is actually less than what we collect for the Central Utah Water Project.
It is. But we don't have any direct control with the Central
Utah
Water.
No, we don't. But as we look and compare, you know, the services, I mean, we're talking about health and safety here. We're not talking about
essential services.
I'm afraid if we wait longer, the interest is going to go up and equipment costs go up, and it's... not going to help us.
I have very mixed feelings about which way to go. I looked at it. I reread the comments that I wrote down from the public hearing. Both sides. I agree with parts of both sides. I disagree with parts of both sides. I'm supportive of the fire department and some of the things all of the things they do, but the great service they provide for the citizens of the county. I guess I'm with Mike and Steve a little bit, but we maybe need to look at it, work towards it, get a plan to work forward, and maybe try to do it in a little smaller increment at a time if we can. I think we need to get back to that certified tax rate as we work towards that a little bit at a time. That's where I am.
Well, I'll make my comments, and then I guess I'm looking for a moment. You know, this I don't take lightly any tax increase, certainly not even $22. The point of my job, the people have elected me to do here, is to look at whether or not the budget and the operations that the fire district operates are reasonable and necessary for the citizens of Wasatch County. I have looked at the budget and the operations, the scale of those operations, and I believe that the operations are not more than we need. The budget reflects the operations that we need for the Wasatch County to continue to operate at the level that we've been operating at. I have looked at each line. I have concerns on some lines. I don't agree with every line. I'd like to see more in training. I do have a problem with the amount of training, but again, that's more money. And I'd like to see our training up. The lawsuit is just something we have to deal with. I know there's some talk about the lawsuit and spending money on the lawsuit, but what that doesn't tell you is how much we saved by fighting, because the amount would have been, or at least most likely would have been much, much higher. And so, in my opinion, the money spent, and I've come into this, I was elected after those lawsuits were instigated. I wasn't here at the time when the actions were taken that initiated the lawsuits, or even when the lawsuits were first brought forward and the decisions were made to defend those. So that's before my time, and yet I've looked at those issues and have determined on my own that it was worth the fight, that it would save the taxpayers of Wasatch County money to fight those lawsuits. And the money that we have and the decisions that we've made to continue to appeal and to fight those lawsuits, I still stand by my decision there. And I believe it's ultimately saved the citizens of Wasatch County money in a potential settlements that we would have otherwise had. The equipment, there's a lot of talk about the equipment. You know, we're just now getting on the adding up the equipment. Chief and his firemen have done a lot of good work on identifying the most critical equipment that needs to be replaced. And they've identified about $4.5 million of equipment that's most critical, that's the oldest equipment. The reality is, in an equipment replacement plan, an ERP they usually call it, you have to identify all the equipment and then identify a reasonable schedule of when you have to replace that equipment. And that equipment, if you do just simple math, even without inflationary factors involved, we're already over $6 million and we haven't even completed adding all the equipment. At $300,000 a year, even if you believe there's not going to be any inflation, it takes 20 years to fully replace all the equipment. That's a 20-year replacement cycle on average for our equipment.
That is not, that's too old. Most fire departments replace their equipment, depending on the type of equipment it is, on a much lower basis. Now, that doesn't mean Wasatch County has to follow that suit, but certainly there is a reasonableness. And I don't think 20 years, in my opinion, is reasonable for the protection of the people of Wasatch County. So $300,000, in my opinion, is just scratching the surface. Now, there are other ways. We could get some grants, and hopefully we can. If we can, then we don't have to raise taxes again. I hope that's the case. We can borrow money. But when you borrow money, you got to pay the principal plus the interest. So the $300,000 I just went through in an exercise, that only covers the principal in theory. If you borrow the money, you got to pay the principal and the interest. And that worsens the problem. It only allows us to borrow. That replacement cycle gets even longer. So I have looked at the budget, and I do feel that the budget is warranted, that it's justified for the protection of the people of Wasatch County, which is what I was elected to do. On the question of whether to put this to a vote of the people, number one, putting on 14 ballot would then put it on 15 taxes, assuming that it passed. We need the money in Wasatch County's fire district to continue operating before then. So I don't think that's the case. Plus, the citizens in Heber North District, I believe, elected me to represent them here. Fire and EMS and other services that we provide are essential services. I don't think they elected me to turn back to them to ask them to vote on every issue that comes before us. And I don't think $22 a year is something that most of my constituents would disagree that they've sent me here to make a decision on. So I continue to support the budget that's been presented, and it's my feeling that it is a justified and warranted budget. And that there, you know, this argument about not being transparent, the budget's out there. It's not a summarized budget. It's right down to the general ledger detail. So it's not a summary of our chart of accounts. It's not a summary of our financial statements. It's right down to the detail of the chart of accounts. It's not a complex budget. It's out there for the public to see. We've given sufficient detail about what makes up the largest portion of that budget. And the others are just based on estimates based on prior year's knowledge of the chief operating the fire district. So the salaries and wages tie directly. We've given exactly to the dollar where the salaries and wages are going. The retirement plan. The first 6 months are locked in. We know the retirement rate contribution for the first 6 months. That's a given to us. That rate's given to us by Utah retirement systems. The next 6 months from July to December, we've estimated to be somewhat similar, and most likely it will, or even maybe somewhat higher. But we've estimated that next 6 months. Payroll taxes are what they are. Food, FICA, and Medicare, we know what those are. That's built into that budget. Those are payroll related items. So the bulk of the budget, you know, being payroll related or personnel related, and the rest of it being equipment related, is the nature of a fire department, equipment and manpower. So, again, I support the budget that's been presented. And turn it back to you. I look for a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I make the motion that we adopt the budget for the fire district for 2014 as presented, which would include the tax increase as presented.
We have a motion by Chairman McPhee.
I'll second it.
We have the second. Motion and second. Any further discussion on the motion? If not, I'll call for a roll call vote on this, and I'll start with myself. Yes.
No.
I'm going to vote no, because I think we can accomplish the same thing with a smaller increase.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. No.
Okay, we have 4-3, so the motion passes. Budget plan set. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman. I'll turn the time back to you.
Okay. Let's see. Do we have a motion to go into fire district?
No, I don't think we did. We did it out.
Oh, out of the public hearing.
Public hearing, and this was a public hearing.
Okay, we're back in regular session, and the next item is an item that Mr. Kohler brought forward for executive session. So we would entertain him.
What's the purpose, Mr. Chairman?
Mike will state that, I think.
It's probably potential legal with a letter. So
Is that your motion?
That's my motion. Going executive for discuss potential legal. Pending legal. Pending legal.
Personnel item.
Okay.
Okay, so that's a motion. We have a second from Steve. Those in favor, Mr. McPhee?
Yes.
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 No problem.
Okay.
That would only.